Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome to the inaugural Geek Grills podcast. My name's September. On the internets, you can find me as 9 of 12. It's handy to use your Borg name. Also with me today is Chris. You want to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Chris. You can find me on Twitter at Chris Van Pelt.
And we also have the Jen.
Hi, I'm Jen, or the Jen. And you can find me on Twitter at the Jen Says.
So we've got this thing going on. We do have a vision statement I wanted to share with you all. Geek Grills wishes to have conversations about the things that we love with passion, without hesitation, openly, honestly, and without shying away from both the positive and negative things associated with them. We hope to foster inclusiveness and provide a safe environment in which all may share their passions. We may use some adult language.
Very adult.
Somewhat adult.
First off, you might be wondering about our name. I've already gotten some questions. Apparently, we're like on the cutting edge with our nerd slang. I actually had to add it on a internet slang dictionary. I was surprised to find so little about it. Came naturally to us to use it, but it's kind of related to how and where we all met on the internet. Jen, Chris, either one of you want to femsplain what a grill is?
Well, grill, I think, originally started as just a misspelling of the word grill, or girl, rather, where, you know, you'd be playing a video game and somebody would hear a girl voice and go, oh my god, is that a grill? And then, you know, it became a thing. So, naturally, we're all girls, or women, or what have you. So, we are geek grills.
So, real similar to the way gamers that even aren't necessarily streamers may have seen in chats, like, oh, they pwn that person, and it's believed to be originating from a typo.
Exactly, like when you type it really fast and you're super excited about it.
I'm super really excited about grills too. My mother-in-law actually just asked me, I thought it was a typo, like what was the thing? Are you doing that on purpose? Like, okay, I know this is going to sound really weird because she didn't get the pwn thing either, but everybody's learning things already.
Yeah, and I think, wasn't it World of Warcraft that kind of made pwn become kind of mainstream? Isn't that where it came from?
That's as far back as I've seen anybody trace it. Yeah, it was like some kind of trade chat thing.
Well, we used to use it in first-person shooters, too, like way back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Back when I used to play Counter-Strike, and I was on a first-person shooter. Counter-Strike was a first-person shooter, and I was on a Counter-Strike team, and we used to talk about pwning people, too. Like, for example, there was a gun that was called the AWP, or the AWP, and everybody would say, oh, I'm going to get AWP-owned, which was very common. So it's just one of those terms that kind of been thrown around, but naturally, considering that we all got to know each other through different podcasters, one of which being Dills, when Dills wanted his ladies to take on Joss's ladies' night team, naturally, Dills Grills made the most sense.
Because it rhymes.
Because it rhymes, that's right. For anybody who was confused, that was the reason it makes sense.
Yes, just in case, wasn't sure. Which, yeah, I thought that was an awesome name. And then we just kind of came, or you guys came up with the name for this podcast, and I really liked it.
Well, I did. Yeah, when we were talking about it, I mean, Chris and I had been talking about doing a podcast for a while. We just couldn't settle on, what about? I don't know, because we like all
right.
The things. And we just kept going in circles. But then after Ladies' Night Pwnage.
Where we may have pwned the ladies' night.
And we were talking about it, and I was kind of like automatically doing due diligence, being that, you know, I work in politics and I have to do websites for people sometimes. I just started typing different names we might want to use into Google and into Bing and making sure no one else was using it. And so it didn't take long that Geek Grills was all ours.
Yeah, thanks to alcohol. What?
A little bit of wine on ladies' night. Well, and you know, and it's 2016. It feels like there are no original names even available out there, unless you want to put like numbers after the end or something.
Well, so it worked out really well that we were on the spend so much time in streams. We know what a grill is. Someday our kids will look back and say, wow, people are, we don't use grills anymore.
Or my coworker, where she's like, what are you doing this podcast about? She's like, this isn't a barbecue podcast. I don't understand. I'm like, no, it's not a barbecue podcast.
If you listen, you may understand. I know. Well, you know, and maybe we may have fans that are grilling nerds. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. You could be really excited about your barbecue. That's fine. You could also hang out in our community. I'd be okay with that.
I'm really excited about eating barbecued food.
Okay, so Jen, you can go first. I'm going to give you that privilege, being that you and Dill's plotting that night that finally made this coalesce. Tell us a little about your nerd cred.
Well, I am Jennifer, a.k.a. the Jen. I have been a geek of some variety since I can remember. I mean, I like to read, I like to play video games, I like to watch comic book movies, I collect battle pets and WoW, because, you know, there's not already something nerdy enough about playing WoW. It's even nerdier that you have to have a job of collecting tiny animals, little pixel creatures that you spend hours locating and then training and what have you. So, big geek. I'm also a musician. I play bass guitar. Haven't played in a band recently, but I do love music. And, you know, I have tons of fur babies, so that's like my other... The other thing I geek out about is all the things I could do with my little puppy dogs.
So just dogs?
Well, right now. No, it's not true. The dogs and the rats and the fish and the menagerie. And then the... I'm trying not to sound like crazy cat lady. This is not helping.
And you do have a Twitch stream, right?
Yes, I do. That's right. So I do stream... typically, you can see me streaming Hearthstone at the Twitch.tv/TheJenPlays. You know, I'm the Jen. I say things, and I also play things. So, there you go.
Ooh, more rhyming. Say things and yep. Play things.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like a fat night waiting to happen. Chris, you had to talk about your geek cred?
Yes. Okay, so I've been a nerd geek ever since... I can remember, and it was never, you know, it was just the things that I enjoy, the person that I am. It was never about like being labeled, you know, like, oh, I'm a nerd, I'm not cool, until, you know, we grew up and the internet happened and then we became cool or cooler. But like my dad, I think a lot of that helped because of the cool guy that he was like a jock nerd. So he was both. He was half and half. He did lots of sports, and he always had the latest tech. So, like, when the VCR first came out, he bought it for $800, and we had a brand new VCR. So he had, you know, he, in the household growing up, we had the Atari, what was it, 2100?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it was the Atari Coleco, and that was the gaming system, like the console system that I grew up on and absolutely loved. There was even a Smurf game on there that was really, really difficult. It was really hard. If you didn't jump on top of a skull in the right way, you died.
And how dare we use Smurf the way we do now in gaming culture.
Right? Yeah, and I'm talking about like the 1980s cartoon Smurfs.
Oh, that's true. Don't get confused, modern video game.
Right.
Video
game. Yeah. But yeah, so I'm also a musician as well. I play the violin. I've been playing the violin since... the fifth grade, about like 20 years or so. I do like to write, but I haven't been writing a lot lately. I was also involved with a role-playing online group for The Walking Dead. That was really fun. And I'm really into roller skating and rollerblading, and I'm trying to work up getting on the local roller derby team here, but I'm definitely way out of shape for that.
That's so badass. That's
so like the hot. Badass.
I've been to a few practices already, several like a year ago or so, but things just happened to where I wasn't able to like dedicate time for that. So I want.
Can I like make you a Harley Quinn outfit?
Sure. I would love that. But yeah, and I used to play WoW as well. I used to play World of Warcraft. But I only played it for about 4 years, from 2005 to 2009. So any new information about that game has definitely got to come from you guys. And I may have questions about it.
I can't even believe I didn't even mention that. Like, I'm a huge tabletop gamer and LARPer, too.
Yeah.
I mentioned those things.
I thought
those
you did.
Those are really core. I get embarrassed mentioning those. No, I don't know if I did.
And
I'll throw that out there, too.
I've never actually LARPed. I've been interested in it. And I love tabletop games. I don't play them often enough. And I love board games as well, but I'm an only child, so I would play board games, but I'd play them by myself.
Oh my gosh, I used to play them by myself when I was a little kid, too. I used to play Candyland because it was the only one where I couldn't cheat. Because all games, you'd be fighting yourself if you try to play. But with Candyland,
right,
you could set up four little dudes and then just see which dude got to the end of the first. And there was no way to cheat it. You just flip the card and you see how far the dude moves.
Right.
I'll tell you, my first experience with D&D was actually when it came out. And my neighbor, the boys next door, the neighbor boy, his parents got it for him. And it was like the little paper books with the dye that you had to rub the crayon on to fill in the numbers.
Oh,
and
cool.
It was just too hard. He couldn't figure it out. So I read through the guide and, you know, ran it like twice, I think, for them. And they were just not dealing with the situation. It was just too hard for them to understand. So we didn't play anymore, but man, that was pretty ground floor. And then I didn't play RPGs again until high school, but kind of end up in whole hog, played a lot of weird ones. Like before I ever played anything popular, I played Villains and Vigilantes and Top Secret and just kind of strange, obscure games, Shadowrun, stuff like that. And then, you know, a couple years later, got really into the White Wolf games. I mean, every week for a long time with a bottle of wine in my 20s. And comic books are something I also came into late. I used to watch superhero cartoons growing up, but I didn't get into comics until someone brought me a copy of Neil Gaiman's Sandman. And it was all over. And I collected every issue until it ended. And the proud owner of a postcard he sent me. Oh my God. Many years ago, I was moving from New York to Florida, and I missed an issue. And I was so upset. And the issue was called Three Septembers and a January.
Oh, nice.
So good.
I'm like, oh my God, no. So I wrote to him via DC at the time. I think it wasn't Vertigo yet. And he sent me a postcard. It's got Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein on it.
From Gaiman?
And it was so kind. It was like,
oh, cool.
You don't sound like a gushing weirdo at all. And I hope you find an episode or an issue. And I was honored to name one after you without knowing. And
oh, cool.
I showed it to him years later when I got to meet him at a bookstore. And he's like, oh, I wish I got to do this more. Like now I write to the kids that write about the kids' books. And it's all I have time for now. He was so sweet. So what else? I love, love, love to cook. I love to find a cuisine and explore it and copy, like try to emulate recipes from fancy places because I'm cheap.
No. You are frugal.
We definitely have some frugal geeks up in here. We like to keep it, you know, reasonable.
I love tabletop games. I was part of a podcast that may come off hiatus one day. Reviewing games, it was alternating between computer games and tabletop games, and they are currently on hiatus. It was part-time gamers for people with full-time lives. If anyone looks up some episodes, it was great. I thank Sean for the opportunity I had there and for introducing me to some really cool games that I wouldn't have purchased. What else? I don't know. I'm into all the nerd things. I watch a bunch of streams and listen to a bunch of podcasts and play a lot of games, mostly Blizzard games, but I'm finally on the Steam bandwagon as well. And my license plate is Geek Mom.
Aha! Nice.
For our last anniversary, I got license plates for my husband and I, and we're Geek Dad and Geek Mom.
Aww, that's sweet.
I'm also learning to sew, so cosplay is bound to happen.
Yeah, that's my new thing. I want to learn how to cosplay. I have an idea. I'm going to BlizzCon this year. If I can find a ticket... Hint, hint, anyone out there listening who wants to help me find a ticket. I have a plan for what I want to cosplay, and I'm hoping I can get a ticket so I can create it, because I really want to try to put something together with my sewing machine that I just got for Christmas.
Yay!
Yeah, I finally bought myself one earlier in the year. I just kept going through hand-me-down ones and having all kinds of frustration, and it was like, all right, this just can't just be me.
Now you have your very own.
I have my very own. And yeah, it does work better. It wasn't just me. So I know we have some ideas. We've been kicking around. We are happy to take any suggestions. You can find us at geekgrills@gmail.com. You can find us at Geek Grills on Twitter. And if you look up Geek Grills on Facebook, we are very easy to find right now. And if you have things you want to hear about, I've already taken some suggestions on Facebook. And so what do we want to tackle? Do you guys want to take turns going through what we want to tackle?
Yeah, should we start with... how the three of us met?
That's a good idea.
You want to do that first? Okay. I mean, I just figured we were still telling people what the show was going to be about, so...
Oh, whichever. Sure, we could do that too.
Give them let's do a little preview first. So, part of the reason that I really was passionate about doing a podcast with women is not just because I want this to be a fem-Nazi podcast where we talk about only feminist issues and we only have female guests, but because I just feel like I've been a person who plays video games for a long time. I've played video games since I was like 12, really often. I mean, I started with things like StarCraft and Sin and Diablo, and then eventually Diablo 2. And, you know, when that became an internet video game community, like Counter-Strike, you know, you get on there, and finally when audio became a thing and we could get on Roger Wilco, old school callback, and talk to each other, you'd hear somebody go, oh my gosh, is that a girl? And just that kind of thing where there's that whole girls in geek communities, girls in video game communities, and girls at the comic book store playing Magic the Gathering on Friday Night Magic events. There's just topics that come up with that. So I think that I definitely think there are some topics that would be cool to address from like a woman's perspective. And that's why I thought the idea of, you know, having three women who come from different backgrounds and, you know, different, you know, we have overlapping geekdom, but also our own separate geekdom. So I think that's important.
Yeah, I think it is important too. I know Jocelyn was just like, oh, yes, more girl podcasts, because it seems in podcasting in particular, seems to be a lot more men than women right now. And I mean, my experience goes way back too from it's a big change now. Some it's positive for my time in the gaming shops or when I helped run BBSs, which is I met a lot of people that I'm friends with to this day. And that's pre-internet, for those of you that don't know. Before the internet, we would call up other computers on our modems and talk. And I was a sysop in that situation, and I was like the only girl,
oh, wow.
Like literally for 100 miles in that community.
That's how I felt with Counter-Strike. I was on a gaming competitive Counter-Strike team, and I was the only girl that I knew of. And then every once in a while we'd come across another team that happened to have a girl on it, but it was so rare. And then of course it's like, I have to spend 20 minutes having them ask me where I live, how old I am, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, look, it's not about that. I just want to go. I just want to play my video games. I want to do my thing. But at the same time, I do think I just wish there was more positive examples of women out there in our geek communities who are being positive and encouraging positivity in whatever format
right.
it is.
Well, I hope we can do that, and I'm sure we'll have really good time exploring issues like that and news items from when we have conflicts in that. Now, you guys are both musicians.
Aye.
So maybe some music geekdom coming up sometime?
I didn't know you were, Jen.
I'm not currently playing. I just have been... been a couple years since I'm newer to where I'm living. I moved to Tucson back in June, so I haven't met up with people to jam with that yet out here, but I'm hoping to find one again soon because I definitely miss playing my bass. It's always, which is, you know, an instrument that's really fun to play, but generally only really fun to play when you have at least one other person to play with.
Right, because you're just doing the boom, 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 boom.
Okay, so I'm going to put in our notes here, because what I would like to see, and I think other people might be interested in, is from your point of view, knowing instruments and how that affected or maybe related to your educational experience. There's a lot of talk these days about music theory and how it helps with math and other subjects in school as they are cutting programs. So I think we might want to take that on too.
Oh, and I would love to talk about that from a different perspective as well. So yes, put that in the notes.
I am putting that in the notes, although I can't type too much because it's loud. I know we want to explore religious themes in comic books, all geek culture, World of Warcraft, movies, all that kind of thing. And we have some guests planned. One is a theology student I know that would love to join us for that. And we want to talk about what? LARPing, cosplay, tabletop.
I definitely want to talk about cosplay, especially when it comes to body positivity. That's like a big point of
yes.
that we'll definitely have to have a little session about that because I have some opinions.
I did have someone write to me on Facebook asking us to talk about the topic of inclusion in gaming. Even Magic the Gathering, she says, has characters that are LGBT. And she wants to hear what we think and what we think about the backlash. So I think we're willing to take that on.
Sure.
And, of course, the questions about esports and competitive gaming. And I think we can have a good conversation at some point on the legitimacy of that and the public view. So, again, anyone who wants to send us your ideas, feel free to do so. Our information will be listed again at the end of the podcast. I should have our website up at geekgrills.com by the time we publish. So, how we met. Chris, you want to start? I think you and I met first, sort of. I might have already been friends with the Jen in Battle.net or something, but...
Yeah, I think that's kind of how it started. I think the three of us were somehow just all got on each other's Battle.net friends list, and we didn't really talk to each other much, but we were all involved with the Angry Chicken tournaments, annual tournaments that they would host, and...
So it was probably Taco how we added our... each other to Battle.net.
I feel like there's a really bad joke here that I'm not...
Yeah, now I'm thinking of that joke as well. Well, okay, so the reason why we...
Because we weren't already prepared for harassment. We're going to talk about grilled tacos right now.
And fish tacos. It's fine. I love fish tacos. They're great. Well, and the reason we say taco is because it's the Angry Chicken, TAC. It's the Angry Chicken Open. So it's the taco tournament. And so that's where that came from.
Yeah, I think that has to be it.
And it's possible maybe Jen, I added you, or we added each other because of their set or their Reddit page.
Yes, that is where I found you.
Oh, I know you didn't find me on Reddit.
Because I was looking to find people to practice with for the upcoming taco, and a bunch of us were sharing our battle tags on the Reddit for the first taco. You're absolutely right. I remember that now.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that's maybe why I have a bunch of people on my friends list from there that I don't even talk to.
I'm glad they gave us more, because I used to have to delete people. Now more people can stay on my friends list.
Man, you're popular.
Nice. Yeah, I don't have quite that many. But...
I've only been playing since Vanilla WoW, so I mean, it's surprising.
Oh, well, yeah, I was playing Vanilla WoW, and then when the Battle.net system came... This is a tangent, I guess. When the Battle.net system came into existence, I switched over, and my account immediately got hacked.
Oh, no.
And I got an email saying, hey, your account was hacked, but we recovered all this stuff. Here you go.
Yay.
Like, oh, thanks. For the taco tournaments, that's how we kind of met. I think after one of the tournaments, either the first one or the second one, Ember and I... just started chatting. We added each other on Skype and drank, I think we were drinking wine and chatted until the early hours of the morning.
Mm-hmm. My husband woke up in the morning and I was still on Skype and I was so drunk. I was like, look at the pretty girl I met, honey. I should probably go to bed before the kids come out here.
We were talking about politics and games, and I don't know, it was a good time. And then, so after that, we just met up again at the next tournament, and then you invited me to play online D&D. We added each other on Facebook, and then we found Jen through Dill's patron channel. No, I mean, we had already found you, but we kind of found you again. And then you and I were chatting about how Ember and I had talked about wanting to do a podcast, and then now here we are.
Hooray!
Yeah, it was all kind of hit and miss whenever Dills was streaming us chatting with each other in a very familiar way until the Dills Grills Challenge happened. And
oh, that's true.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Well, because I'd always see Ember in Dills chat, and it would be great because she'd come in there and she'd say something and Dills would be like, oh, hey buddy, and like refer to Ember as a guy, and then I would get the private message from her on Twitch that was like, I don't care how many times I tell him that I'm a girl, he's never gonna remember it. And I was like, it's okay, I know you're a girl.
That's like actually how I first got Mod on his stream. Because he always says buddy and dudes and whatever, but he, like, specifically that night he called me sir.
Yes, and that's what it was particularly like.
So I just did the little arrow, left arrows. I'm like, yeah, tired of reminding him I'm a female. And he's like, oh my God, so sorry. You know, I'm so sorry. Here. And he like, what did he have in his hand? He had a wrench or something. And he was like, knighting me on the stream, giving me the mod sword.
Yes, because it's a very, for those of you that don't spend time in Dills' channel, by the way, I think we should just throw a little shout out so you can follow mm-hmm. Dills' streams at twitch.tv/WillyDillsSF. And his chat is by far the best chat. I mean, it's a huge community that I love being a part of. I've been a mod for Dills for a couple years now, and we just have a blast there. And Dills just has an awesome group of people there. But yeah, so the green sword is kind of a big deal in Twitch. You know, we have our mods there, and Dills only picks good people to be his mods. So, and then there's also a ton of us. And so it's like the green sword brigade in that chat, but it's a good time.
But we all take care of each other, man. That chat is the friendliest community. It is so awesome. And, you know, Joss's chat is great. I mean, we're all spoiled. Thank you, Scott Johnson.
Yes, we're all spoiled.
For introducing us to only the best people on the internet.
Exactly.
Right?
That's true. I definitely have pretty much anything I listen to or am connected with originally stem back to me listening to Scott Johnson's podcast, The Morning Stream, and then The Instance, and that pretty much like opened me up to just avenues to hang out with cool people. And then eventually found Jury for Night Attack and the Diamond Club. If we had video right now, you'd see me making the Diamond Club symbol.
Yay, Jury!
I don't know if I started listening to The Instance first or Nerdist first.
I listened to The Instance first because I was a total WoW nerd and I like to hear it. Because
something led me to Nerdist, but it might have been Risk. Like, I think it was a storytelling one.
There's so many good podcasts out there. Oh, I love it.
But I mean, I went looking for a WoW one, and I'm so glad I picked The Instance, because there are a lot of those.
Oh, sure. Well, just like Hearthstone podcast, there's a ton of those, too.
Oh, gosh, yeah. And apparently Heroes of the Storm podcast now, too.
Right.
I just found out there was another one I didn't even know about, so I had to add them, so I've started listening to them now, too. I'm going to have to start being one of those weirdos that listens to my podcast at, like, 1.5 speed or something, because otherwise I can't get them through them all, because there's just too many now.
Right.
But that's okay. I like podcasts. I guess I'm kind of a geek for podcasts, too.
Yeah, that reminds me. We're also nerds and geeks about podcasting as well. And I'm actually kind of a little late to the party, because I started listening to podcasts in 2012. I didn't even really know about them before then. Started out with Nerdist, and then, you know, made my way up to the awesome communities like Frog Pants and stuff like that.
I used to listen to the iTunes radio.
Oh, that's cool.
All these weird little obscure channels that I was digging around some years ago. That was kind of my pre-podcast, before it was a thing, although I don't think anyone uses that anymore.
See, mine was back in like 2007, 2008. I had a friend of mine who had an internet radio show. He was going through the Now Live network, which is the one when Adrienne Curry had her Now Live internet radio. The internet radio was the thing, and it got really big. I did my own internet radio show for a while, which was interesting because it's all live. You don't record it. It's like, when it's over, it's over. And and then I didn't know. I was like, I need something like that. You know, because I'm one of those people that listens to NPR and whatever, and I wanted somebody to listen to.
Oh, I'm the biggest NPR nerd.
Yeah, and then I eventually was like, oh, podcast, this is what I need in my life. And yeah, podcasts are definitely, I always have a podcast going if I'm not doing, if I'm doing something else, like pretty much always.
I tell you, one of my proudest mom moments ever was when Cars came out and my kids were like, that's the Car Talk guys. And they got all excited and recognized their voices. I was like, I win.
Oh yeah. I love the Car Talk guys. So bringing it back, so essentially, that's where the Dills Grills came from. Whiskey Gamers. Dills occasionally hosts Whiskey Gamers on his stream, which is Friday night. People drink and we play silly games together and have a good time. We hang out in the Discord channel and we all have fun. And then somehow along the line, I was making a joke about drinking Arbor Mist because I'm a grill, which is one of my favorite jokes because I'm drinking what I consider to be not very manly alcohol choices. I refer to it as my grill beverages or grill cocktails in his channel. And then Dills and I were joking about how fun it would be to take on Ladies Night, because I heard that Scott Johnson got to be on the Ladies Night and they called him like a manly lady or man lady or whatever. And
man ladies, yeah.
And I was like, all right, that would be, I was like, man, we should totally play them. And Dills is like, yeah, totally play them. And then all of a sudden, Dills is like, yeah, Dills Grills. Yes. And yeah, so then it became Dill's Grills versus Ladies Night. We mentally prepared ourselves for that adventure. It sounds like Dill's may have undersold us a little bit with that, but we did get to...
just a little.
I don't know if he did that on purpose, though, because I'll tell you, I had only ever played with him in a group once. And was
we were terrible. Awesome. We kicked butt.
I know, but before that, like, I'd only played with him once. And it was like this night, he brought a bunch of us in, a bunch of people in chat. And we lost. We just got slaughtered so bad, and he, like, quit.
Oh, no.
Well, it was like when Heroes first came out, and me and Jastan and one other person were in the group with him. And we're on Skype, and then we lost the game. It was so embarrassing. It was like the second or third time I played Heroes. So I was so bad. And then all of a sudden, like, the Skype call ends. Like, the game ends, the Skype call ends, and, like, that was it. And I was like, oh, no, we were so bad. The Dill's just straight left. Done. So, obviously, we've improved a little bit. And, you know, we gelled well. I think we all did a great job.
Well, I know Ladies Night gave me huge confidence because I didn't play a single game in Hero League before then. And I'm actually doing it now because
nice.
I mean, we communicated so well as a team. Yeah,
that's
I'm
awesome.
Like so casual. Are you kidding me?
And I'm a try hard.
Oh, you were so on point with knowing like your map awareness and strats and the timing of different goals. Like you were a step ahead of Dills.
Was I?
In calling that stuff out
oh, wow.
about half the time. And I was watching the replay and Josh was like, oh, they're just doing what Dill says. I know it. Oh, he's leading them. That's why they're beating us. I'm like, you know.
Well, and the best part was, is like one of the times when she was like, oh, that was a good thing that like Dill's called. And it was me. And it like, basically the way it went down was me going, no, we should totally get this camp. And Dill's going, I don't think it's the right time. I was like, screw you. I'm doing it anyway. I'm doing it anyway. Already doing it. It's too late. It's already being done. So it was definitely a good time. And I think that was, we definitely saw some gel. Shout out to Link,
yeah.
Another one who hangs out on the Dills channel, who partook with us and was one of our grills for our little exhibition match versus Ladies Night. And yeah, I think the coalesce was there and we just kept chatting. And it was like, okay, this totally makes sense. All of us want to do a podcast. We're all awesome women. We're all super geeks or nerds or whatever you want to call it. Let's do this.
So, Grills, what have you been playing and or geeking out on? Jen?
I have been doing a lot of tabletop gaming, which is really fun because I haven't done tabletop in years. I was into LARPing more recently. So I have been playing in a Pathfinder game, which I had never really played before. I've managed to play lots and lots of other tabletop games, but never anything like D&D or Pathfinder. So I'm officially playing the worst rogue ever. It's super fun. She has pretty much no rogue skills, but I have sneak attack and I stabby stab people, and it's super fun.
Yay.
So that's been what I've been doing on Sundays. And then mostly there was the taco planning in the Hearthstone for the Angry Chicken Open. Yeah, I guess the Angry Chicken Open. I was planning for that. So that was a lot of work putting together my Hearthstone decks. I finally settled on three decks. I had a Death Rattle Hunter, and I had a C'Thun Druid, and then I had my Murlocalypse Paladin deck. And then I had my mage, my Dragon Mage, which was terrible. But I was excited about playing until I realized that I was playing against Nulltown in round one. So I pretty much knew that I was not going to be successful at that point. But I did take one game from him with my Murlocalypse deck, which, you know, all of my failure was streamed. I also got disconnected because I had to move to mobile at one point. So that was fun. But yeah, it was good. At least I got one win with my Murlocalypse.
Oh, and deck. That's a fun deck.
Yes, that was super fun. And to be able to take it down a game against a good player with a really fun deck like that, that was cool. So that like, good
surprise,
stuff.
Dude.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's been lots of Hearthstone, because coming off of the taco, yes, I just want to play all the Hearthstone now. And I've been really happy with the changes from Whispers of Old God. So it's been really fun to play Hearthstone. So that's what I've been doing.
And if anybody doesn't know, Nulltown was the one who won the tournament, last taco tournament? Is that correct?
I think he took second. I know he was in the finals. I can't remember, to be honest. I was trying to double check.
Okay.
But I know that he was in the finals last time. So I was definitely terrified to get him in. And yeah, so just a shout out to the those who were in the finals for the taco. Ended up being Bruden versus Clinch. And Bruden took it down. And it was really great. This taco had a lot of people streaming and a lot of really good gameplay. So it was awesome to see that.
Yeah.
Right on, right on.
Yeah, I ended up playing a guy that that went on for 5 rounds, I want to say. Like, he won everything. And then on the third game, the third match round, he played you, Ember. And so that was fun. I'm like, beat him. Beat his ass.
That unfortunately didn't happen. I got a bye on the first. And I was nervous in the second because the guy had gone for 3 for 3.
Ooh.
And then I took him 3 for 3.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, yes, I made a third round and just got, you know, crushed by the guy who crushed you. So, but I think that's the farthest I've ever made it just by actually winning at all. I mean, in the past, I got a lot of buys. One time I got like 3 buys. I hung around all day long to just lose when I finally played. So I was really excited to move up by actually playing this time. And Battlefy.
And can we say the Battlefy system was so much better than what we used to use?
Yes, Battlefy was so much better than Challenge.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Well, and the whole moving on to the next round when you're done is much better than when we started.
Yes, and waiting hours. Yes, that's what I was thinking, because I mean, you said waiting hours, rebuys. I had 2 buys in the first taco, so I did like the same thing where I was like, okay, am I ever going to actually play in this tournament?
That scheduled match is not so great. So Chris, what else have you been playing or doing?
Okay, so because I get to borrow my father's iPad, I've never had an iPad before, he is letting me use it, and it's probably one of the most amazing things ever. I always thought it was weird that people, you know, some people will say that they prefer having an iPad versus a laptop. And for basic things, like if you don't need to do word processing and that kind of thing, you don't really need a laptop, and an iPad works fantastic for that. And so I've been geeking out on a lot of mobile apps. And so I've got like 3 major mobile apps that I've been playing regularly for the past year or so, or well, for one of them for the year, and then a couple of them that I found recently just a couple months ago. So I'll name them pretty quickly. You've probably heard of this one. It's called Plunder Pirates. It's kind of like Clash of Clans, but pirate themed, but it's done really super well. The graphics are super cute and good. And there's lots of events to keep you, you know, occupied while you're, you know, spending several days trying to upgrade, you know, something on your island, whether it's your ship or your guild hall or whatever. So that's really fun. And I found a guild that's pretty cool. They've got their own Slack channel. They're really nice people. And then the other one is Dragon Soul RPG. I don't know what it is about this one, but I cannot get enough of it.
So neat. I think Rob plays that one.
It's I don't know what you call it. It's not technically an RPG. Like, you're not a single character and you try to level up that character. It's a team fighter brawl, but not in the MOBA sense. Just collect, I think they've got a total of maybe like 50 heroes, and you collect them, and then you can use them 5 at a time to do battle brawls with other 5v5 teams.
I totally have some friends that have been playing that have mentioned it, and I didn't join them, but I've definitely been hearing about that one.
So of course there's like the campaign mode, which is the single player mode, and then an expedition mode where you're just trying to get to the end and it gives you lots of gold. There's also daily quests and it keeps you busy for a while. And I don't know exactly what it is. I just find it super fun to start leveling up the heroes, figure out which ones are good, which ones have the most power. You can take a team of 5 that have the highest power, but they still don't work together very well. And, you know, other heroes that you get matched up with that have less hero power, but just kind of work better together, they'll just run you over. So it's really fun to try to figure out who goes well with what. And comedy and the humor of the game is fantastic. They don't take themselves too seriously, and that's what's really fun about it. They've got a Firefly reference in there, a Darkwing Duck reference.
Right on.
Yeah. Just like it's in their description of equipment that you can buy, Captain's Tight Pants. And I'm just like, you guys are so amazing. Let's get dangerous. And I'm like, you guys are so cool.
Yes. How much does that one cost, the Dragon Soul?
It's free. You can pay, I think it's $2.99 for a month in order to get stuff for doing that. And every once in a while, I'll throw $5 at it just because I want to. And then the last one is called Game of Dice, and I randomly found it on an ad. It's kind of like an anime version of Monopoly and an RPG where you also use cards to give you yourself buffs and things like that. And you have a certain character and you can collect characters. You can collect materials in order to craft things like craft new cards, craft new players, craft new dice.
Gotcha.
And it's just really fun.
I think I play, what is it, four words and then two dots. I think it's funny that the two mobile games I play are four words and two dots. but those ones, they're fun.
Well, I appreciate the suggestions. My husband's been playing a lot of mobile games, and I don't do much of that. I play Word Streak. That's about it. And I used to do Word with friends, but people quit playing, so I don't have anyone to play with.
And it means you have more time for Heroes, just saying.
And then my iPad quit being able to play Hearthstone, which kind of sucks.
It did? Why?
I don't know. It's the iPad 2. It's supposedly supported. But, I mean, I've reloaded everything, and it just won't work. So I'm bound to other devices for my Hearthstone.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I finally started doing Hero League in Heroes. But people are so mean, and I can't stand it. I mean, ugh.
Dills and I played the other night, and he was a little tipsy, and it was quite fun. But the first game we did in Hero League was definitely, we got in, and at the beginning, we weren't doing what they wanted us to do. So they were like, fine, we give up, and it was like level like 1.5. And it was like, really? Let's all just calm down a minute. And then we had two really great games after that, so it was obviously just bad, losery, mean people in the first one, but at least the second and third game, we had some fun people that weren't quite so grumpy.
Well, and I've been having terrible luck this month, and this month only. Like, when I got placed into Hero League, I got placed in rank 27, and then I was pretty easily able to get up to rank 25. Now I'm all the way back down to, I want to say, 28 or 29, because I haven't been able to win a single game in Hero League. So I'm like, okay, quick match. Guess I'm not getting that epic mount.
I haven't even done all my qualifiers yet, so it's probably just gonna wait for the actual season to start for me to get any of that done. So we're playing D&D. Chris is my game Sunday nights. Yeah. And so I made a new character. We kind of got the same world, but we were just so powerful it was getting really difficult to run. So my husband has us making new level 1 tunes that are kind of being mentored by our other characters. So I'm going to give a cleric a go. I'm pretty excited about that. I have a whole bunch of comic books that I haven't read. I keep carrying them around with me. It's like I'm behind on Thor. I have two issues of Gwenpool and haven't read either of them. It's like the Harley Quinns, I can't wait. I read them as soon as I get them. But I'm going to do some catching up, so I'll have more comics to talk about soon. What else? Oh, so I got both my copies of Comrades and Patriots. I joined this Kickstarter for, it's a card game, well, two card games. I had play tested this game at my son's tabletop club at North Carolina State University, and it was developed by a political science major. But it's super fun. You play with, you know, 3 to 5 people. And you each pick, like, you get a main character, and you're, you know, how do I explain it? You're some sort of communist leader, and you're trying to gain proletariat points to win. And they're each has their own ability, which kind of relates historically to what they do. But it's simpler than it sounds, and it's a lot of fun and really hysterical. And the art is freaking fantastic. It looks like propaganda posters. Oh, it is so cool. So then he made a second game, a sequel, because the first one is Most Glorious Comrade. I'm sorry about that. And then the second one is Most Incorruptible Patriot. And in that one, it's a similar game, but you're playing people like Kennedy or Winston Churchill, and you're actually trying to gain, you know, votes.
That's awesome.
And so,
Do the two sides head off against each other?
No, they're individual games.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, you can play as a bunch of commies or you can play as a bunch of, you know. And they're just loads of fun. And I was really happy to support it after having been part of the playtesting. And so I ordered a bundle that got me two copies of each game. And I'm going to send off a copy to the other podcast I'll be doing again. Part-Time Gamers is starting up again.
Yay!
And so I'll send it up. I'll mail it to those guys so they can play it. And then we can all do a review. But it's This and That Games produces it.
This and That.
The guy, Eugene, and his friend, they go to school at NC State, and they work with local communities trying to promote tabletop games, and just really great guys. So I was happy to support that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So really, I just got to get people to come over and play.
I know I ended up getting, I backed the contender juries, Justin Robert Young's.
Yeah.
And also off the top of my head, I can't think of the other guy, and I don't want to leave him out. I feel bad because there's the other guy. I'm sorry. I just don't know him very well. Tim? Dave?
I thought it was like Josh or John. I'm going to look it up. I'm looking it up because I'm going to feel bad.
I'm trying to look it up.
Look it up.
It is John. It is John. Then John. Yes.
John. Okay. And I backed them and I have a copy, but I don't have people that I can play it with in person. So, you know, it's just sitting there.
Is it a tabletop?
It's a card game, kind of like Comrades and Patriot.
Okay. We'll have to, maybe we can figure something out. I'll talk to my 14-year-old. He manages with Skype to play Magic.
Oh, really?
With his friends. And not the digital one. Like, they have cards.
Okay.
He lays them out and, like, he's taught his friends to play and he somehow manages that. So
okay.
There's got to be a way to do this virtually where you can't see each other's stuff. We'll have to figure that out. And my 12-year-old, so I don't know where this came from, but now I'm trying to hook up with... We've got this Fort Dobbs historical place, and I got to find the local SCA people because they're not very active here or something, or the Ren Fair. I know a lot of people that work the Ren Fair, but he's suddenly obsessed. He came home, he's like, I'm going to build a forge and a crucible.
A forge and a crucible?
Mm-hmm. He wants to melt down aluminum and do molds and make stuff.
Oh.
So he goes next door to the neighbors. Because they have a lot of scrap, because the guy does roofing, and he brings home, like, all these aluminum scraps. I was like, he said he would give me cinder blocks, and then we can build a forge. And it's like, you can't build a forge with cinder blocks. They'll explode. It's too hot. And so it's like, sit down and do all this materials research, and, you know, I'll talk to, maybe we can get you an apprenticeship somewhere, because I'm going to build a forge in my lawn. And just have him sit there doing nothing when he gets bored. So it's kind of like a distraction technique, but I don't want to discourage it. I mean, that's a really cool thing for him to want to do. My older son had the same thing for a while. When he was 16 or 17, he all of a sudden wanted to learn blacksmithing.
Interesting.
And when I talked about it with my mom, I found out that that's actually part of our family history that I didn't know. Back in Buffalo, I had like a great-great-grandfather or whatever who was the main blacksmith in town, you know, shoeing all the horses for when they were still drawing carts. And
oh, wow.
So it'd be really kind of neat to learn more about that and pass it on if I can find someone to apprentice my son. Because, you know, it's not 2016 or anything.
That sounds awesome, though. That's such a cool thing to have him be interested in. That's way cooler than the things that I was interested in at that age. I don't know.
I'm definitely passing the nerd on. I mean, when we go to Ren Fair now, I took him 2 years ago for his birthday. And so he wanted to do it again this past year. And he got a bow this year. And he's like, I should learn to make arrows. And then I can be Fletcher the Fletcher.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Oh, my
Fletcherman. What's his power?
And my kids are like a built-in little D&D group because, like, it's Victor, which is obvious, and then Fletcher, and then Connor, which means friend of wolves. So...
Oh, cool.
So you pretty much have a D&D party. You're set.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to have all boys, you may as well, you know, have some tanks and some backup, right?
That's right.
I'm definitely the caster in the family.
Does that make your husband the cleric? Where does he fit in on this?
Is he the
bard? He's a weird techno mage. You have to go into World of Darkness to get his category.
I heard techno mage, and I was like, just wherever he
goes.
There's
techno.
Techno music following him around.
Well, it's what correspondence in World of Darkness. The correspondence mages.
Oh yes, yeah. Yes. Or they can like just go wherever they want and do whatever they want. I'm actually going to start running. So I try. completely random. So I guess this goes into like what I'm looking forward to.
Yes, that's next. What are we looking forward to coming up soon?
So I was running a vampire game, a Dark Ages vampire game, and I've been running it, and that's been fun, but one of the players needs to just play mage, I think, because he's pretty much trying to turn his White Wolf World of Darkness character into a mage. So I finally decided that I'm going to start running a mage game, which I think will be a lot more fun. I know, I love running mage, and it'll let him have that freedom, because he was like, I just want to make up this thaumaturgy path or this path of blood magic. And I'm like, or we could just play mage, and then you can do all those things that you want to do without having to create new things all the time. And then, oh my god, Overwatch. We are now less than 48 hours away. I will not have to play it for a day and then be sad when it's gone, and then play it for a day and then be sad when it's gone, or have a beta happen on basically Friday night and Saturday early so that I can't play it at all on the beta. I will actually officially just have Overwatch. So excited.
What do you know what the deal is with that? Someone told me they had gotten an email from GameStop. I bought it at GameStop. And I've heard no such thing from GameStop, but they said they were told they could pick it up on the 23rd.
That'd be tomorrow.
My receipt says the 24th.
That is what I was... Mine says the 23rd as well. I got an email from GameStop. Okay, because I'm a super nerd, and I bought two copies of it because I wanted to have access to it right away, and I wanted my WoW pet right away. So I bought the Origins Edition for my PC, but then I waited to buy the Collector's Edition for the Xbox One at GameStop. So I got told I could pick it up on the 23rd, but it sounds like the servers aren't live until the 24th, as I think what I'm understanding.
Well, I might just have to go check and see, because the beta, that beta access that happened did happen a day early.
So today?
So I
yeah, that's right.
Might also just be a day earlier than I thought. So I'll go check. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll check in later and find out what's happening with that.
I'll go tomorrow. So what else? What are you most excited for coming up next, Chris?
So far, I think I am the only... Well, I think I now know that I am the only one who has not purchased Overwatch. And I'm still not quite sure if I want to. Did I just hear an audible...
Yeah, that's Rob taking a shot off his inhaler.
That's okay. Well, and the main reason is just because I wasn't able to get into most of the betas unless they were the open betas. So I haven't really had much of a time to play it, to fall in love with it. The first time that I tried to play it, what was that, back in November or December, for the stress test weekend, that was when I was having a ton of computer issues. And so my computer completely fritzed out. And it was actually during, I was able to play two matches, like my first two matches ever, and computer just wonked out. And I had to spend like a month trying to get it fixed and better, and then I finally fixed it. And so I didn't really get to play much, so I'm like, well, I don't even know if I like the game.
Yeah, I wanted to try it first too, but then one of my sons got so excited for it, I decided to go ahead and buy it early for him for his birthday.
Nice.
And he wanted the Winston figure. And then I actually got to try it when we had the beta on the Xbox. And I liked it surprisingly well. I was actually got competent at it fairly quickly, which shocked me. I normally get vertigo from FPS games and can't do it.
Okay.
But because of the way the maps are so open, like the world itself, I think you can look around, it feels like. And I did not get nauseous at all.
Oh, cool. That's good.
And then learning that kind of controls for the Xbox, the movement was, like, hard. I'm sure I'd be better at it on a PC, but I don't have that option.
I was just thinking it would probably be easier to use with a controller.
I don't know. I need mouse and keyboard. I've just been such an old school first person shooter person that I have to have a mouse and keyboard. If I could take a mouse and keyboard and plug it into my Xbox, I would be in heaven. I mean, that's pretty much where I'm at with it. But I will say that I played Overwatch on the stress test weekend, the first stress test weekend. I basically logged in, got into a party with a couple people, And I'm pretty sure I just played Overwatch for 2 days straight. I mean, I think I took a nap at one point, but then I was like, okay, well, now I don't feel so bad that I'm paying like $70 for a baby Winston pet in World of Warcraft. I'm actually paying for a game that I'm excited about playing.
The very more experienced FPS players are telling me that they all seem to say keyboard and mouse is better. But I did enjoy it on the Xbox. And another thing about it was, instead of just being yelled at for being a filthy casual about it, like normal, my older son tried it in the beta, apparently, because he texted me. He was like, hey, Mom, Overwatch is quirky and fun, and I like it. And that was like high praise, because like he's a Dota snob and, you know.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Yeah, he's the one that gave you the hard time about Heroes being right, being like the lesser MOBA or something, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, him and the middle one do that. My middle one's... He did a whole ton of yard work for me today to get riot points, so...
That is such an ingenious system. That's fantastic.
That is good.
He's like, what can I do for $10? I said, what's it for? He's like, riot points. I'm like, I don't know. League is stupid.
That's amazing.
I have stuff to do, but you won't like it. And I gave him a list, and man, he went out with the pruners and cut all kinds of stuff down clear in my yard.
Nice.
Like, that's worth $10. He was, and actually sweating and getting exercise and leaving the house instead of just playing League the rest of the day. So balance in all things. So I think the other thing I'm sure we're all looking forward to is the movie.
Well, yes. And I just wanted to say for Overwatch, the main reason why I wasn't sure if I wanted the game was because I didn't know if it would work well on my system. But thanks to the most recent beta, I now know that I can play it on settings above low. So, yeah.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I was worried about that for a lot of people. When the first beta was happening, I was watching streamers, and everyone was having to turn the settings down so low.
I have to run it on low, but... I need a new computer.
And I felt bad for people. I mean, I can't, not as bad as me. I'm on a Mac, so I just, I'm not allowed.
Yeah, I still think that's weird. And I know that we've talked about this, like I mentioned it before, but I, you know, there's like Daniel J that is a Dilzian that is in the same position, I believe, where he was talking about the fact that he won't be able to have it on a Mac. And that totally sucks. I really feel like that is, the fact that it's not Mac friendly just seems weird to me, but... Mm. Hopefully, I don't know, hopefully Blizzard will decide, because isn't everything else available on Mac? I mean, I feel like...
Well, because it's not just Blizzard. Part of it is Blizzard programming and stuff, because you have to do a lot more to develop a Mac version of anything. But Mac has made some decisions, Apple recently. I mean, last year they were still putting in real graphics cards, now they're not.
Oh.
They have this discrete graphic systems that just can't support that kind of game. So I hope they don't continue that.
That sucks. I'm glad to know it's not just Blizzard, though, because I did feel like I didn't realize that there was an actual situation with Apple, because I was just blaming it on Blizzard. So it's good to know maybe it's not just Blizzard.
Yeah, and there's a shift in the way they're doing their hardware that is, I think, resulted in that. But there's also a shift in the way they do their software. I was talking to someone the other day. They have their kind of, their own engine going on now. That they developed, I think it's called Metal. And Blizzard is using it. Like, they're the only ones using it and developing it for that.
Hmm.
Games in general for that, using that engine. So I have hope. I have hope that Apple will come to their senses with the hardware, and it'll all one day come together back into the best hardware and software, which is, you know, what I feel like I'm spoiled by. And I hope it happens really fast, because I can't run Legion on my current machine, and I'm afraid to buy a Mac without the graphics card. And then, you know, next year, all of a sudden they put him back in and I would be able to run Overwatch 2 or something. So can't be fast enough for me.
So, yes, we have to talk about the fact that Chris is going to be we are all excited about the Warcraft movie, because we're all Warcraft nerds. But I'm so jealous because Chris gets to experience it in such an awesome way. Oh my gosh.
I'm so jealous.
I'm so jealous.
I'm going to be so nervous.
Don't be nervous. It's going to be fine.
I'm going to be so
nervous. Come on. It's just...
So tell them what you're doing. You got to tell everybody what you're doing. It's awesome.
Okay. Mr. Scott Jensen is having a private... Well, public, private
A public-private screening.
Yes, a public-private screening where he has bought out an entire movie, not the theater, not the entire theater, but an entire room, an entire theater room, so that anybody who wants to buy a ticket and go to Middle Utah? It's in South Jordan, so it's a little bit south of Salt Lake City, and anybody who wants to come to that can, and it's open to the Frog Pants community at frogpants.com/Warcraft, I believe. I think there are still a few tickets left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah, from what I saw, there was definitely a few. That's going to be awesome.
Yes, and so I only live about 4 hours away from Salt Lake, so that's going to be a day trip. So it'll be fun. I'll get to meet Scott Johnson in person, Brian Ibbett, and Tom Merritt, because I think they said that those three were going to be there.
Oh, man. I bet he's going to get swag, too.
Yeah, there's going to be a ton. There's going to be a ton of cool people there. Because I think, I don't know if... I just feel like there's a whole list of people that said that they were going to make it. And the cool thing, too, that just a shout-out to, if you like Scott Johnson art, even if you're not going to the movie, you can order a copy of the art that he's doing for it.
Yes.
Through that same link, so definitely check that out. I did order that because I'm a nerd and I like Scott Johnson.
Ooh, I gotta check that out. I ordered his free comic book day stuff that he gives away, but I didn't get it yet.
Oh, cool.
See? I always do that, and I missed it this year.
I missed it last year. They were out.
I went on at 12:30 and didn't realize it was, the day had ended, and was like, oh, I really need to do that. Oh, no. I was sad.
A little confused because I went in and it said it's had a coming soon label on it.
Yeah.
But it was still free comic book day, and then it let me put my stuff in. So I'm just waiting and hoping.
Waiting and hoping.
Funny thing that I did that I realized 3 days apart from each other is I had first heard about the Warcraft event in South Jordan on The Core, on Scott, Bo, and John's Heroes of the Storm podcast, and they had mentioned something. So I went there right away, and I bought the second option, which was the poster, not realizing that it wasn't the poster including the ticket. It was just the poster. And then he had said something on the morning stream, and so I double-checked to make sure that I had also bought a ticket, and I hadn't. I had only bought the poster. And I had already talked to Scott on Twitter saying, hey, I'm going to come. Yay. So excited. And realized I hadn't even bought my ticket because I just bought the poster. So I quickly bought the ticket. I'm like, please still be tickets left. Please still be tickets left. I was like,
are you driving?
Yeah, I'll just drive there because it's only 4 hours away.
Cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I actually did look at a ticket. I seriously considered it, but with the cost of my new apartment and everything else and my move, I'm like, this is not a prudent idea.
Not right now. Okay, so I think that about wraps it up for our inaugural episode. I do want very, very much to thank our inaugural patrons. We have had the kindness of, well, not strangers, but friends and internet acquaintances to give us great confidence and show us love and support by already signing up at our Patreon. You can do so by going to www.patreon.com/grills. Tonight we bestow our first rank to our first patron, Beth, a dom of destruction in our community. And also at our highest member level, the first of our royal court has been named. King Louis is now a king and rules over our patrons with an iron fist or something. Velvet hammer.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know what he rules it over with, but it's obvious that with a name like King Louis, I asked him, I was like, really? All the way to the royal court?
It's a cleaver. It's a cleaver. He's a butcher. In real life, he's a butcher.
And he's, oh, it has to be. That's it. It's an iron cleaver. He rules with an iron cleaver. But he was like, I can't support it any other level. I'm King Louis. And I'm like, that's absolutely fair, sir. That is absolutely fair.
So when I think when Chris makes his coat of arms, it has to have some kind of big cleaver.
He rules over us with his meat.
And I'm making him some swag. And Beth's not really a nerd, but she is a dear friend of mine, so I'm just going to buy her a Maker's Mark next time we're out. So, okay, well, thanks everyone for listening. I'm September Ember 9 of 12. You can find me on Twitter at 9 of 12. My battle tag is NINEOF12. #1102. Jen, where can folks find you?
I'm on Twitter at the Jen Says, and I'm on Twitch streaming hopefully more often now that I will have a webcam again at www.twitch.tv/thejenplays.
And where do we find Ludinescence?
I am at Chris Van Pelt on Twitter, and that's probably the easiest place to find me. My Battle.net tag number name is Ludinescence, L-U-N. Oh boy, can I do this without looking at it? Ludinescence number 1296.
And all of us can be emailed at geekgrills@gmail.com. Send us your comments, your questions, topics you'd like us to cover. We are at Geek Grills on Twitter as well, and you can find us on Facebook. Just look for the Geek Grills. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good game, girls. Good game.
Good game.
Good game.
I Am Nerd, a poem by Hugo Victor on HelloPoetry.com. I am a nerd who finds pleasure in books of fiction, of life in fiction, of pain from fiction, a fragment of my being. I am nothing without a book. I am a nerd who finds pleasure in comic books, whose mind comes alive in their pages, of heroes and their sidekicks, of villains and their lovely vile. I am nothing without my comics. I am a nerd who finds pleasure in rock as a religion, its transitions and its leads. Metal as a denomination, so electric, I come alive over and over again. I am nothing without my music. I am a nerd who finds pleasure in mangas, their naive heroes and their half-clad villains, their pervasions and their strengths, their one-on-one battles and defeats, their awesome storytelling and the twists. I am nothing without my manga. I am a nerd who finds pleasure in video games, the difficulty levels and their walkthroughs, the vibrations in those boss fights, the sleepless nights and the highs, the shouts of victory and the barrage of curses. I am nothing without my video games. I am a nerd who finds pleasure in surfing the endless chasm of the World Wide Web, of knowing terrifying ignorance, of horrors and uplifting humor. From one end to the never-ending, I am nothing without the internet. I am proud to be all of those things and more. I am nerd.
Five, four, three, two. Hello and welcome to the inaugural Geek Grills podcast. Geek Grills. Let's start again.
Oh, it's okay. We can edit that out.
Oh, no. We have a tongue twister. I can't even say it. All right.
Ready to go.
I know.
So I'm going to go ahead and start recording right now so we can just see if we can hear everybody.
You think I need to install the pop filter?
The pop filter, not the pop filter.
Pop.
420 YOLO swag.
Look, we're starting this podcast off right. Oh yeah.
I know, right? We're gonna start on a high note.
Huh?
I'm so funny. All right.